Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we could be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and connect with us on LinkedIn. My guest today is Romina Arena, an international award-winning singer, songwriter, composer, and record producer. Romina, welcome to the show and thank you for being here.
Hello, Frank. It's so nice to be with all of you today. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And I could have talked about another 10 minutes of all the things you've done, but I figure that's what we're here today for to learn about. So before we get into the many, many, many things you've done in your incredible career, tell me where you're from in Italy. Tell me about the beginning.
Absolutely. Well, I was born in the city of Palermo in Sicily to a lovely family. Mainly, actually, my dad died. My biological father, there's a story behind that too. But my mom actually was the one that raised me, a wonderful single mother, a Renaissance woman that was in many different things, into many different things, from painting to cooking to writing, composing. So I had a small childhood with her, because soon after, you know, I turned 5, my life then kind of directed itself towards America, which I'll share more about it. But yeah, the life in Sicily was beautiful. I was born in this beautiful little home, a beautiful house on the water overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, and surrounded by, you know, beautiful things. Sicily is a beautiful island, and I invite everyone to visit it and not just believe in the same old thoughts about the mouth, you know, that we have an amazing island. Like, I call it the Hawaii of Italy. So come. And it was beautiful to
actually spend. I like that, the Hawaii of Italy. That's a good one, yeah. And it sure is, you're right about that. So right? Was mom involved with music as well?
Well, my mom was a music aficionada. She loved playing piano, she loved writing songs, but it was more something that she kept for herself. She did not really have the, you know, maybe not the courage, because she was a little maybe afraid to fail, so she kind of kept that for herself. But obviously I was so enamored by her playing piano and composing music. She had like a talent that was a natural for her, that I think I inherited that from her. But also that I was almost like the opposite of what she was doing. I wanted to go out there in the world and experiment since I was a little child. I mean, music chose in me, really. I wanted to be driven by this amazing force, and she always encouraged me. So whatever she could not do, she wanted me to do, and she started to get me, take me to auditions for different things, different, you know, children kind of contests and festivals. And then when I turned 4, almost 5 actually, she took me to an audition for the Disney Mickey Mouse Club in Italy called Topolino, which was on the national television channel in Italy called RAI, R-A-I. And there I was, you know, I did this audition with a lot of children from all kind of nationalities. There were French kids, Spanish kids, American kids. And I was, you know, I did this amazing audition. My mom encouraged me to continue on studying, you know, in the meantime, you know, piano, singing, ballet. You know, a lot of parents do that. They send their children to take, you know, ballet classes or doing things. And she always wanted me to continue on this journey, because she realized that just like her, actually, we were born the same birthday. So she and I have a lot of things in common. Unfortunately, my mom just passed away recently. So it was thank you. But she was really the reason why I started this. And I decided, obviously, now more than ever to continue on persevering to make her proud. And so that's how it all started.
How long were you with the, if I may interrupt, how long were you with the Disney
Mouse
Topolino?
Well, actually, believe it or not, they started when I was 4 or 5. Now I'm in my 40s. So literally, I actually stayed with Disney all my life, throughout the entire lifetime of my life. Like, basically, I'm still working with them. I started as a performer. And of course, the Mickey Mouse Club no longer exists. I started with Topolino, Mickey Mouse, the Italian Mickey Mouse Club. And just like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and all those people. But then with Disney, I continued on, you know, working on music, initially recording songs for animated films. I was actually already speaking four or five languages by the age of seven because my mom kept on taking me around Europe and doing little performances and tours. So I was, and Disney realized that I had these talents, not only for singing and performing, but also for writing. Little by little, started writing music. I started composing music and also in multiple languages. And as you know, Disney is very much focused on international sort of activities. They always have singers from different parts of the world that record the same song that maybe you hear in American English. Then you hear the Norwegian version, the French version, the Spanish version. I was doing everything in one, almost a packaged in one as a young child. And so I continue, and then I started writing for them, not only music and composing, but I started creating, executive producing, of course, till now, major national TV specials for ABC, now Disney Plus, and now my shows also air on the stream rather on ESPN Plus, because Disney also, as you know, is very much involved in ice skating concerts and all sort of productions. And I've always loved ice skating, so I moved rapidly, always keeping the music at its core, at the core of my life. But I started developing ice skating concerts for Disney, and so now I'm actually been very successful at it for several years now. I've been producing for ABC and Disney, so and I continue making music for them, and I continue on exploring many, not just with them now, but before it was more of an exclusive thing with them, and now we do many collaborations, and I'm very proud of this amazing company that gave me wings. You know, learning
Right. So
everything I know, I learned from them.
that audition for the Topolino Club
Yeah.
changed your life completely, and that puts you on a path to, I guess you've been traveling the world since as a little child, correct?
Correct. And actually funny because I did not know that I was able to sing. My real dream, Frank, was to be a ballerina. I
Really?
studied, yes, I wanted to be a ballerina. I did not care at all about singing. I loved classical music a lot. You know, dancing to the Nutcracker Tchaikovsky was my favorite, because I actually ended up dancing in some of the biggest theaters of Italy. And then I came to America, I started working with several academies of ballet. That was really what I wanted to do. But then my mom, you know, being a single mother, she realized that all the money that I was, you know, making with Disney were going into ballet and tutus and all those academy high fees. And so she said, you know what, we need to find something different that would, you know, secure a future for you, because ballet, I have a feeling, won't do that. And I was devastated because I really wanted to do that. But then I realized that I had a gift as a singer. Music was still part of my life, maybe in a different way, not anymore as a dancer. But, you know, and little by little, I, you know, started getting into the singing. And then I realized that that was really where I belonged. And I began touring all over Europe. With my mom, actually, my first huge tour was, even though I was going already back and forth with America, and I'll share a little bit about the America connection with the Pacino family and all that happened to me. But my first big tour was in Australia, and I performed as a headliner at 14 years old at the Sydney Opera House, which is actually, I think it may be, I might be wrong, don't quote me on that, but I think it's one of the seven wonders of the world. It's one of the most beautiful theaters, opera houses in the world. It looks like a white shell on the water on the Sydney Harbour. It's absolutely beautiful, gorgeous. And Australia, of course, has a lot of Italians. So my biggest success, of course, was with Italians. And actually, right now, we're negotiating my next big tour after almost 30 years. I'm giving away my age here. I'm in my 40s. But I'm going back to Australia for a huge Australian tour. That was like my first, actually, not even America. Australia was the very first experience internationally. But being
Well, let me ask
Italian,
you something. Let me ask you. You're 14 years old and you're performing on stage in front of thousands of people.
yeah.
Nervous? Were you?
Oh,
Did you do this?
nervous. I mean, I still, actually, Frank and everyone listening, this is actually more interesting to know. The more, the older I get, with and the more concerts I've done in my career, and there are like literally thousands of concerts I've done around the world, this the more scared I am. Like I live with fears, because there is a responsibility that comes for an artist that comes on stage and performs in front of an audience. Like, you have to be, the older you get, the more success you achieve, the better you have to be. The experience that you have to give to an audience has to be top notch, because people have top dollars to come and see you. So you better give them an experience of a lifetime. So, but yes, at 14 years old, I was super terrified. I was very, very scared. And, but, you know, interesting enough, during the time, my biological father died of a heart attack, and I remember that I stepped on that stage at the Sydney Opera House, and I almost saw like his ghost, almost like his image. And even though I was not very close to my dad, because my parents died when I was very sorry, they divorced when I was very, very little, but, you know, I always wanted to have that relationship with his father that was so distant from me. But interesting enough, when the moment that I realized he was no longer alive, that image of him showing up on the stage, you kind of give me the courage to take, power in my hands and perform. And it was a huge success. In fact, they eventually confirmed me to come back a year later. But I mean, this fear remains, that the stage fright, it is something that it still rules my life. And I think a lot of artists do that. And then there's an adrenaline that kicks in, and you go on autopilot at some point. But
Sure. Plus, I would imagine that you learn to cope with it better. You're an adult. I mean, you've done it so many times, but as a
absolutely.
child, that's got to be, really, really, really scary. I mean, I give you all the credit in the world, and
It's
that's wonderful
challenging.
that in a way, Dad was with you. That's
Oh
great.
yes. Yeah, I felt him closer to me that night than I've ever felt when he was alive with me. So, but I mean, like, again, this is it comes with the territory. You are an artist, and you have to, the show must go on, Freddie Mercury used to say. So
That is very
that's what you have
true.
to do. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about, I know, I believe you've done some work with Ennio Morricone,
Yes,
who
yes.
is, if, I'm not an expert, but I believe him to be one of, he was a composer, correct?
Yes, so
And he
Ennio
was
Morricone was
one of the
the
greatest, right?
biggest, one of the greatest.
Right.
Yes, actually, my beautiful mother, Rita, she took me when I was 13 years old. Let me go back here for a second. So, coming from Disney, all the kids, they were working with me. They wanted to do like these poppy songs, the Britney Spears kind of like fun songs. I've always been in love with scores and cinema music, always film music. Of course, I'm a singer, I'm a performer, so I do love the big theme songs, the Celine Dion's "My Heart Will Go On." But I also at the same time, I loved the instrumental music that accompanies scenes of films. And ever since I was a little girl, I always listened to Ennio Morricone, also because there was a movie called Cinema Paradiso that won an Oscar many, many years ago. And it was directed by a good friend of mine, Oscar-winning film director Giuseppe Tornatore. And when I heard that song, I was a little girl, I was like 13, I fell in love with the music of Ennio Morricone. And then I started going back, and the Sergio Leone movies, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Once Upon a Time in America, The Untouchables, it's endless, the amount of movies that he did. And I begged my mother, I said, "Please take me to Ennio Morricone." She's like, "I'm gonna find this guy." And then, why? He's like, he's like an older man. Like, he's like, and he's at the time he was like in his late 60s. I said, "No, please, please." And so she was so innovative, my mom, that was able to find actually the phone number of Giuseppe Tornatore, the director that directed Cinema Paradiso. And because he was from Bagheria, which is a little town
That's
next to
right.
Palermo,
That's right. He was from Bagheria.
right?
You're right.
Yeah, from Bagheria. So we, yeah, tu parli anche italiano, so
I
capisci.
think so.
And yes, and so my mom is from Bagheria. So we basically we met, and we met in Cinecittà Studios, which are the film studios of Rome, where back in the day, like in the 80s, early 90s, people would go and film movies. Now it's become more of a museum, and there's a theme park, and but like Martin Scorsese filmed there, Gangs of New York. So it was a great studio. And there, yeah,
So it
I
was
met.
like the Hollywood of Italy,
That's
correct?
right, the Hollywood of Italy in Rome, where it's still like Rome is still considered to be like the Mecca for films and TVs shows. And so I went to this little bar. Well, our bar is not the American bar. This little coffee shop, we call it bar.
Right.
And there was Tornatore that said to me, "Do you want to be an actress? You want to be a star?" I said, "No, I don't care about being on camera. I want to write music for films. That's what I want to do. I want to be a composer." And he said, "Well, that's crazy. You're successful. You're on TV. You're Disney. I was like, "No. I just want to. I mean, yes, I love performing. It's my life, but writing music is even more important to me. And I want to meet Ennio Morricone." So he took me to his palatial house that used to belong to Sophia Loren. It was
Really?
like a museum.
Wow.
And and then there I met him, and he sat down in front of me, and he was terrifying. He was the scariest guy I have ever met. I mean, but I didn't care because I love this music, and I was like, "Maestro, maestro, I just love you." And he's like, "Yeah, whatever." He didn't
Wow.
care. He didn't care. He was brushing me away, and he goes, "What do you want, kid? What do you want?" And I said, "Oh, maestro, I don't know what I want. I just want to work with you. Let me learn from you. Let me just be present at your recordings." And he's like, "No, I don't have time." Like, he was really mean. And I
Huh.
said, "But maestro," he said, "Listen, I'm gonna allow you to kind of watch me doing some work. You can come to this studio, but there's no way I'm gonna ever work with you because you're a kid, number one. Number two, you know nothing about composition. Number three, like, you have no, success. Like, what do you want?" I mean, he was really serious.
Was
And he goes,
blunt,
"If you
yes.
want to come back," he says, "If you want to come back to me, first go out there in the world, go back to America, learn your craft, own in on your craft, just be the best thing that you can be. And after your success, only if you have success, come back to me." And this thing stayed with me for 20 years. In fact, in 2012, 20 years later almost, I basically, interesting enough, his manager, Luigi Caiola, they also earned him the first Oscar. His manager became my manager. It was like strange. Like, I didn't even realize that he was the same manager of Ennio Morricone, because at some point I was focusing on my career. I was thinking about Ennio, but I was afraid to even ask my manager, "Can you take me to Ennio?" Because I didn't know if I was going to be brushed away again or pushed away. But now I have millions of sales. I recorded major albums, like gold records, and I've done all these amazing collaborations. So I was like, "Okay, maybe it's time." And so I ended up actually convincing Gigi, the manager, to take me to Ennio's house again. So I went back to the same house, and it's very funny because when I arrived to his building, he had his wife and his daughter like popping their heads out of the door, like to see who was on top, but he forgot that I was coming. And he was looking at me like I was some sort of an alien. And The wife took us to the same living room to have coffee, like we did it 20 years before. And I asked the famous question to Ennio, "Maestro, do you remember me?" I was so happy. I was so excited because here I am with success. I did exactly what he told me. And he's like, "Nope.
Wow.
I don't remember you at all."
That's kidding.
I was devastated. I was like, "No, you." And I told you, "Maestro, I asked you. You told me to come back. Here I am. I have success. I've done this. I've done that." And he goes, "Well, first, I had to take you to my studio, and I had to listen to you singing live. Then we'll see." So we went into this golden chamber, I call it, because he had his own studio in his house with some gold, gigantic gold doors, looked like St. Peter. And he had all these keys, and he couldn't find the key to open the door. He was going through every key. It was like taking an hour. I was so nervous. And finally, he opens the door, and I walk into this amazing studio that had a huge, gigantic organ. And then he had this big desk, and the entire room was filled with Grammys and Oscars and all of his books and music. I mean, you couldn't even sit on the couch because it was filled with sheets and charts. Anyway, he basically asked me, "Give me your CD." At the time, there was still such a thing as CD, floating around. And he put a CD on, and he was silent. After the first song, he was so serious. I said, "Okay, my career is over," because he's not making any sounds. He's not saying anything. He's really serious. And if you look at him, he's very scary looking because he had these glasses. It was very serious. He rarely smiled. And so he was silent. Then he went skip to the second song. On the second song, he stops the song in the middle, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna die now because he's gonna tell me something horrible. He stands up and he goes, "Brava, bro!" He gives me a personal standing ovation. I said to God, okay, if you want to kill me now, God, if you want to take me now, I'll die happy. It's okay. Now you told me downgrade. And then he says, now sing live. Sing live. And he points his finger. I'm like, sing now. And I just was like, oh, like I just sang live. I didn't know what I was singing. But he heard me and he goes, OMG. He said, he called his son Giovanni. He said, Giovanni, tell me what you think about this kid. I was like, oh, he's calling me kid. I'm in my 30s now. And and the son says, wow, isn't she great? And he goes, no. And this is actually, by the way, reported on the Malibu Times. He quoted this on the Malibu Times. He said, if anybody wants to check it out, he said she's more than great. She's the most dominant female artist performer I've ever heard in my life, that has the ability to even write music and compose and conduct, which is something very rare for a female singer. Because when people call me, oh, she's a singer, I kind of take it back a little bit, because for me, like, being a composer and conducting symphonies and writing music is even more important than my personal instrument, which is my voice. I'm happy that God gave me a chance to sing twice because of a tragedy that happened to me that I don't know if you're aware of. But my voice was gone for a while because of a terrible attack, a physical attack that happened. Someone, actually injured my vocal cords when I was a teenager, and I wasn't able to sing for many, many years. But I
Oh,
believed
that's
in the higher
terrible.
power, yes, and my voice returned stronger than before. The ability to write music, that really earned me something. And he said to me, okay, now what do you want to do with me? Ask me the same question. Now you're ready,
And now
Morricone
you had
said.
him, so what was your answer?
My answer was, I did something, oh my goodness. I actually said something very bold. I don't think anybody would ever say that to a maestro like that, because he did 400 of the biggest movies of all time. I said, maestro, my dream is to add the lyrics, original lyrics in multiple languages, and singing to some of your most iconic movie scores. I want to put the lyrics on The Untouchables. I want to put the lyrics on Cinema Paradiso. I want to put the lyrics on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I want to put
And
even
what was
things you
his
would think.
answer to you?
He goes, you deserve it. So choose your favorite music scores, and let's do an album together. And it happened.
And
We did a
what did
call,
you
and
choose?
I chosen some of the greatest, like Cinema Paradiso, Once Upon a Time in America, The Untouchables, Casualties of War, Love Affair. I also did the 50 Shades of Grey. I did this song with him, The Woman in Me, which was originally the score of Lolita. I mean, so many. Right now, like, I don't remember all of them, but we did about 15.
The
And
song from Cinema Paradiso. Okay, did
That was
you
one of the
write that
songs.
song?
Well, no, that was the only one that I didn't write. That song came to me from him because he wanted me to. He was in love with the original Italian lyrics. So that was actually the one that I did not write, but I love recording it. And then actually I ended up releasing it with another label. So the record label that I signed with for the entire album with Morricone did not want to touch that song because they only wanted to use my own lyrics for all the album. But for another label, which was another big soundtrack record company called Lakeshore Records. And Lakeshore, many people would realize, is actually the famous film company. I don't know if you've ever seen movies where the Lakeshore is the moving logo of a little kid that runs on a bridge that jumps into a lake. I don't know if you've ever seen
Yes,
the logo,
I
and
have.
that's called Lakeshore. It's a huge film studio in Hollywood, and they have a soundtrack record label division. So the soundtrack record label division signed me. I did an album called Where Did They Film That? Italy, The Music Journey, and I recorded all the biggest theme songs from famous movies made in Italy, and the Se from Cinema Paradiso was actually one of them. But in this record, I recorded, Volare, the famous song Volare. I recorded in Romeo and Juliet, The Godfather, because I wanted to do a tribute to Al Pacino, the Pacino family. That his father was basically the only father I've ever known. So I did that. So as you can tell, as you can see, there is a pattern with me recording not only songs that have to do with Italy, with their movies, but literally the cinematic world.
Well,
It's
may
really
I
part
say
of
that that song "Say" from Cinema Paradiso is just incredible song,
Oh,
and your
I know. I
voice,
wish I wrote
it's like an
it,
angel.
but I recorded
What a
it.
beautiful song. I mean,
Thank
everybody
you.
just YouTube that tonight because it is just a beautiful, beautiful song.
You're so sweet. Thank you. And
Yes.
I wish I could take all the credit for the song, but that's Ennio, the maestro.
I would,
He's
right. No. And he truly is iconic. I mean, you are right about that.
Yes,
I mean, Cinema
definitely.
Paradiso and Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, those are some of the most famous iconic music scores ever.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
And even once I would add Once Upon a Time in America and The Mission, because The
oh,
Mission was
really?
another great movie. Yeah. Oh yes. And Once Upon a Time in America was one of the first more, I don't want to say romantic, because it was a mafia movie, but was a little more of a lengthier, more interesting movie of Sergio Leone. One of the Leone, movies, they were all the Western, the famous spaghetti Western movies. So, and I actually, it's very interesting, I recorded for a fistful of dollars, I actually put, and for a few dollars more, I put lyrics to those two themes. And you know what I did? You're gonna love it. I think your listeners are gonna enjoy this little story, if I may tell
Yes.
you this, Frank. If you remember in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, for whomever's seen it, and for a fistful of dollars, there was a scene in which Clint Eastwood was about to shoot the other cowboys, and they looked at each other's eyes, right? There was this zoom, like the camera was zooming into the cowboy's eyes, right? And you hear the music of Ennio. And there is a scene in which Clint Eastwood picks up from his pocket this little watch, this gold watch, like a little, hand, and what do you call it, like a pocket watch,
A
right?
pocket
It was a
watch.
gold watch. And this watch had a little music to it that was kind of like redundant. It was a little ding, dee, dee, ding, dee, dee, ding, dee, dee, ding. It was kind of scary almost, because you can hear it in the movie. You see these eyes, these mean eyes of these cowboys about to shoot each other. Well, what I did was that my former manager said to me, "Romina, why don't you take, this is crazy, the melody of this watch," which is very kind of repetitive. There's not really a melody, it's kind of like a little sound, like three notes. Take that, go to the studio, do something with it, with Ennio. And when I went to Ennio, Ennio goes, "You gotta be kidding me." Like, no, I said, "You know what? I'm going to write a song from the watch." He's like, "Why are you gonna do that? It's just," and I did. And it turned out to be, it's called Il Tempo, IL and then TEMPO, Il Tempo, which means time. And I did it. And there's the whole, you can see on YouTube the entire movie of the cowboys about to shoot each other. And this scene, you can see Clint Eastwood. Clint actually reached out to me and told me how much he loved what I did, because Clint was a very close friend with Ennio. And Clint is also an amazing composer, by the way. For people that don't know, Clint Eastwood, which actually has Italian origins, he actually is a brilliant composer. If he's listening, because I'm going to send him the link as well, I say hi to him right now, but he's an amazing composer. And he actually loved so much that, and he said to me, "How you and Ennio came up with it?" And Ennio was even, he was like scratching his head, going, "You know, I created this, but I never thought that this little sound would become a song." And he did, you know.
Oh my, this is I will be listening to Il Tempo as soon as we finish
Yes, it's very
recording, that's
interesting.
for sure.
It's different.
Can you tell us a quickie version of, you mentioned Sal Pacino, which
Yes, my
Al
daddy.
Pacino's real father.
Father. Yes.
What is your quickie version connection to Sal Pacino?
Quick version is that my mom was so worried about me, being alone in America, being, a child that didn't have a father. So she actually met the Catherine, which was his wife. Unfortunately, Sal died, passed away. For me, he was not my real father, but he literally raised me as his own daughter. I spent so much time with him at the Pacino house, and Catherine, which was a fantastic woman, a marvelous actress too. And basically, he was so worried about me, being a little kid. He actually walked. The thing that really touched my heart was that my real father abandoned me when I was a kid, but Sal took me in as his own daughter. He literally walked into my, I will never forget, into my immigration lawyer's office, and said to the lawyer, "What do I have to do to make this kid my legal daughter? I mean, I love her and I want her to have a family." And my mother, although she had to let go this little girl, this young girl, although I was going back and forth, always with Italy, so it wasn't just always America. I would go back and forth, but she realized that I was going to have a better life and to be loved and supported by them, and especially Sal. And Sal was an incredible man, loving, warm, generous, tender, and very protective of me. If I would go out with a boy, "What are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you doing? You need to stay at home until you're 50 years old." Classical Sicilian kind of father, but wonderful, wonderful man. That in I didn't have him for a long time because unfortunately he died of a heart attack, a few years later. But he was so loving, very protective, and he opened doors for me to Hollywood. Him and Al as well, because although I don't see Al all the time, I'm very proud to have him in my life, in my family, as he was a brother, an older brother, so to speak. Although he's, obviously he's not my brother, but a wonderful man that I met. And Sal, and Catherine too, they really were instrumental to Hollywood for me. I grew up in Hollywood thanks to them, and many doors, Paramount Pictures, 20th Century Fox, you name it, any studio would take our meetings. And little by little, I developed a production company with Catherine Pacino and started developing films and TV projects. Started developing projects where, whether Al was involved or not, but it was more like a new division, a new production company. And that's when I started writing screenplays and producing films in Hollywood and TV shows and series. I started loving not only composing music, recording songs for films and soundtracks, but literally writing films, love pitching, and meeting some of the biggest. In fact, I will tell you that one of my biggest partners today, I'm very proud of, that is developing some of my IP, intellectual properties, is one of the, I would say probably like the number one Hollywood film producer. That is, his name is Lawrence Bender, and he produced all the Quentin Tarantino movies, Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction, The Good Will Hunting with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, and 88 Minutes with Al Pacino, and so many movies. And he's actually producing not only a bunch of films with me, he's developing, but he came to me, he reached out to me many years ago because he was interested, he and his company rather, to do a movie based on my life story. So that's how it all started. But again, like, my connection with the Pacinos really started my Hollywood career, not only as a performer, as an successful recording artist, millions of records that I sold and soundtracks, but really just started getting involved in the production and development of films and the series, and meeting the Netflixes of the world. And then there was Disney that was always there with me. So Disney was always there waiting for me to do something. To this day, we're still going back and forth on so many things. So quite
So do you,
but that man, yeah.
I was going to
Yeah,
say,
go
do you
ahead.
remember when we first started the interview and I said, you've done a million things and we're going to get into it? You have done a million things. What a career.
I know it's and this can be received by the by people as a lack of focus. Sometimes I hear people say, "How can you focus on one thing, you do so many things?" But I actually, they all say, give something to a busy person and get it done. Like I'm very much like that. Maybe because I don't have a family now, with the passing of my mother. Now I'm an orphan. I mean, Al is 84 years old. He's doing his things now. So I don't really, Sally's dead. So I lost my family. So for me is now the entertainment career, music, film, TV, whatever it is, and other ventures, because I'm venturing into branding and my own line of foods and pots and pans.
No, I sense that from you, that you kind of thrive on continuing and working and working and working, and that's your thing, and that's what, makes you tick and keeps you going. So,
Absolutely, it's
yeah.
important to me. And what they say is, when you love what you do, it's never work. And so I just love what I don't have any children, I'm not married. I just, and maybe it's a bad thing because I'm in my 40s. I mean, like, the thing is, I've never been so lucky in love, even though I've always wanted to find the family. But it's hard for someone like me that tours all the time, travels all the time, to have someone that would say, okay, let's hear. And I was engaged to my manager. Unfortunately, he also passed away of cancer 1.5 years ago. So after 15 years of relationship with him. So losing my mom, losing my manager and partner, it was a little too much for me, but I realized that the work that I do, and also let me tell you, Frank, I'm a philanthropist. I've been raising a lot of money, and I've given a lot of my energy and resources to large organizations like the Red Cross, the Yellow Ribbon Group that raises funds for the kids of the soldiers killed in war, for scholarships, Salvation Army. Like I've always been very, very much involved, and I'm focusing on fight against cancer and the fight, to kill violence against women. Like, there's so many important causes in this life, and also there are so many children that have no parents, single women that they don't know where to live, people that have no jobs, and animals. I'm a big, protector of animals, an advocate of dogs and their abandoned. Like I'm putting all this love and all that I make, literally, into these causes. Like I don't have children to leave money to, so what I do, I just decided to dedicate my life to help others, and I do it with so much heart.
Oh,
I
God
love that. I'm
bless you.
creating new
That's
jobs.
beautiful. That really
Yes,
is. And
and
I
we're launching a new company. Yeah, we're also launching a new film studio now, and the Romina Arena Company, and we have some very powerful, I cannot say much, but some of the biggest heads of studios are coming to work for me, and they're gonna have the different divisions from film, animation, comedy, music, books. And by the way, I also do video games. I've been doing
Oh
music
my
for
Lord.
video games. Yeah, and I don't know if you'd like me to share this with you, but
Or please.
should I share something with you while I'm at it?
Yes, for sure. Please.
I mean, I think
Please.
your listeners are gonna go crazy after this interview. Their minds are gonna explode. They're gonna deploy. But I was actually, first of all, the first artist ever in the history of video games and digital, what they call it today, metaverse, to be doing a concert as an avatar for the world. It was called Second Life. I'm the first music artist ever to do the first concert in Second Life. So in Metaverse in 2003. And then soon after that, 2004, I was hired by Bill Gates and the Microsoft organization to write and create one of the probably most successful soundtracks for one of the biggest video games, the first Xbox video game called Gotham Racing 2, that won the first BAFTA award. BAFTAs are the English Oscars. And I was the first female artist to ever do music for a major video game that won BAFTAs. So I wrote music for that video game, and then my record company hired me to record the music from the video game from a famous horror film franchise called Silent Hill, and I recorded that too. I mean, I started getting really excited about video games and writing music for video games, and now I actually create video games because a lot of our films and series, we like to turn them into many platforms. We like to explore them into many platforms. That's what the new studio is going to do. One property is going to be going through what I call the Wheel of Awesome. So we're going to go into all these packs, right? Like one project becomes a book and a song and a TV series and a film and a video game and a theme park ride. It's very exciting, I think, to let your imagination running wild and free, and making people happy,
That's
just
great.
bringing
There is never a dull
money.
moment in the Romina life. That's for sure. My only advice, once in a while, take some time for yourself
Sleep.
and relax. Once in a while.
Yes,
Could you
I'll
tell
try.
us about, you received an award in Italy, the Patrimonio Italiano Award in 2022. What is that?
That is one of the highest achievements in my life. The Italian Parliament and the Camera dei Deputati, so it's the chamber of the senators, the deputies, basically people that make the politics laws in Italy and in Europe too sometimes. They have voted with millions and millions of Italians around the world, to give me a recognition as the official ambassador of Italian culture in the world. So for my success in music and film in philanthropy, and that was, first of all, that was so amazing because walking to the parliament and being recognized by, the president of Italy, the people, the matter, it was huge. I mean, any artist would be so honored. I felt very tiny, very small, in front of, before this great recognition. I didn't feel that I was the right person for that
No, you're the
because there
right
are people.
person, and congratulations. That is an incredible honor. And
Thank
the
you so much.
ironic part is, I looked it up and I saw it on the computer here, and you were sitting next to Fuchsia,
Yes,
actually.
Honorable. Yes,
Honorevole. It was
she's the one.
I actually know her, a very, very, very
I love her.
intelligent, classy woman. Nothing
And
but
she's Sicilian
respect for her.
too, by the way.
She is
Sicilian.
Sicilian, yes. So
Yes, amazing woman.
that was great. That was quite an honor. Quite an honor. I mean, that's amazing.
She was
Wow,
amazing, wasn't
Romina, what a life. What a life. God bless
That's
you, all
right.
the things that you do, all
God
the
bless you
things you
too.
do. You've been through a lot. You have really, really been through a lot. And God bless
Yeah,
you
unfortunately.
to keep
But
going on.
Frank, thank you. I will tell you this because we're living in a world in which many people are suffering. Many people passed away for many reasons, starting with the pandemic and the wars. I mean, without going into, I'm all about peace, love, and understanding. And my heart goes out to everyone who's listening that is going through any kind of trouble, any kind of battle, whether it's a healthy battle or a mental battle. And by the way, let's focus a lot on mental illnesses because, the pandemic has unfortunately brought up a lot of problems. People suffer with bipolar disorders, with post-traumatic disorders. We need to really be supportive. This is something that I'm beginning to pursue, really bringing awareness and a light, shining a light on people that are suffering from mental illnesses. It's something that a lot of people underestimate, that we have to really help as much as we can. If we see something that does not, sound right to us from a friend, a relative, to really seek help, help people to find help. We all need love right now. Love is the key. We have to love each other. We have to be supportive of one another. We all human beings, we have our weaknesses, and life is so short. And now to see my mom dying at 63 years old of cancer, of course that's cancer, but she was so young, she has so much to do still. It really made me realize, yes. And I went through also, as you know, a challenge in my life. I was almost killed, when I was attacked. So I'm grateful to God. But the thing is, we really must realize that we don't have a lot of time in this earth, and there's no reason to fight for things that are useless, holding grudges against, friends, relatives, because, at the end of the day, all we have is today. So let's just make the best out of it. Let's focus on helping each other, healing each other. Let's pray. I mean, I believe in God. I'm a big believer. I don't push that on anyone, but I say that prayers change things. So let's try to be, kind to one another because we don't know what the other person is going through. We
No,
make
we don't.
assumptions, and it's the worst thing that we can do. So
Well,
if
very
anything
well
comes out of
said.
this, anything that can come out of this interview, more than accolades and all that, that doesn't mean anything at the end of the day, because when we're gone, we're gone. But what is important is that I can send a message of hope and inspiration that there is always a great light. Never give up, never give in. And if you have a dream, no matter how old you are, where you come from, what you have, you're afraid, jump in. It's going to come to you because if God gave you a vision about something, if you have a talent, it means that you meant to do something with that. That's what you have to think. That's
Agreed, 100%. How do people find Romina? Give me a website.
Here I am. No, just kidding.
Well,
Okay, come and find me. Good luck. No, just kidding. No, you can go to www.rominaarena.com. I'm gonna spell it: ROM as in Mary, I, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, Arena, like the concert arena, ARENA, which is my real name, believe it or not. .com. So RominaArena.com, and then I'm of course on Instagram under Popera Star, Popera opera, genre music that I do, opera star, and also on Facebook, Romina Arena. I'm all over the social media, so you can find me everywhere. And if you want to listen to some of the music or support my music, you can find it on Apple Music or Amazon or Spotify, of course, any kind of digital platform. I'm present. And we have a Christmas album too. But I don't know how long when this interview will come out, but if it's after Christmas, you can still enjoy it. And it's called A Beautiful Surprise. And it's also, we have a few copies of this album, also hard copy. They're numbered and limited edition only, but they're, again, digitally, they can be found everywhere under A Beautiful Surprise by Romina Arena. So that's how you can find me.
Romina, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I don't even know how you found the time to do this interview because you're going in a million directions. But thank you for
Oh,
the
my
interview,
honor.
and thank you for all you're doing and your beautiful soul and all you're giving back to this giving back to people.
You're so sweet. Well, thank you, first of all. You are an amazing man. I'm a big fan of all that you do, your books, your podcast. You are an incredible supporter of the Italian American community, the Italian community, period, which is really important to us. People like you are phenomenal for us. We are, without you, we would be all, basically, dead, because we must continue promoting Italianship throughout America. It's a beautiful group of people together. So, and you are amazing. So
Well,
thank you for
thank you
your
so much. And yes, that's
precious
our
time.
mission. And let's keep doing it. Let's definitely keep doing it.
Absolutely. I'm with you anytime, Frank,
Well, thank
anytime.
you so much. And God bless you.
God bless you, and I give my love and blessings to everyone listening today. Have a wonderful day. Take care.